Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, June 26th. I'm Ray Graff. Nutrition and healthy eating on the menu today. We welcome Emily Horstman, a registered dietitian and the founder of Healthier Span, a longevity nutrition coaching practice. Emily works with clients on everything from cardiovascular and metabolic health to GLP-1 medication support to the little daily habits that quietly change everything over time. Her work is deeply rooted in the belief that how we eat directly impacts how well we live. And if that's the case, I'm not living all that well. Give us a call at 800-348-2551 if you want to talk nutrition today. 800-348-2551. Or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Emily Horstman, nutrition and your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome a first-timer. Emily Horstman is with us. Emily is a registered dietitian and the founder of Healthier Span, a longevity nutrition coaching practice. She also hosts the Antidotes for Anxiety and Aging podcast and newsletter, and she focuses in her practice on whole-person nutrition. You know, cardiovascular, metabolic health, even GLP medication support, GLP-1. Interesting guest to have on this program at a time when America's fattening up. The number here is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 if you want to get some recipes, some guidance today for free. Voxpop@wamc.org is the email address. Emily Horstman, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me about Healthier Span.
Yeah, so that's the name of my private practice. It is a riff on the term health span, which is really about the quality in your years versus just the pure number of years. Just to really drive home to people that matters so much. And that's really what I help people focus on, is the quality of their life through their health.
Is there a good patient and a bad patient? Does a patient have to buy in, or... One of the things I see in America sometimes, and probably around the world, people want the easy fix. Mm-hmm. I see GLP-1s everywhere, and people just want that shortcut. Do you need to train people psychologically toward a better lifestyle and better nutrition?
That's a great question. Yes and no. No, in that I don't work with them until they're ready to buy in and go all in and really do the things that they need to do. And it looks a little different for every person. Yes, in that I'm continuously, you know, highlighting their blind spots, helping them understand what might be next. So it's a little bit of both. It's a little yes and no.
Our guest today, Emily Horstman from Healthier Span. If you have a question about nutrition today, she is a registered dietitian and knows a little bit about food as well. 800-348-2551. You focus on guilt. Why is defeating guilt important to you?
Yeah, I mean, we focus on it in so much of defeating it. So really, like, letting it go. Guilt has, there's so much research to show for generations we've relied on it as the motivator. If I feel enough guilt and shame, I'll change. But that's actually completely false.
Really?
Correct. Yeah. It might be like a temporary motivator. Like, oh, I feel like garbage about something that I did, so I'm not going to do that again. 3 days goes by and you do it again if you don't address the real reason. So I talk about guilt only in that we need to figure out how to release it. And that looks different for everyone. But guilt is not an appropriate motivator for change.
The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. All right, so you're a mom, you got a couple of little kids, it's summertime, the bags of Cheetos can be there in the shelf. How do you keep your kids happy and healthy?
Well, there's no Cheetos at my pool parties.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, so how do I keep them happy and healthy? I will give you the quickest answer to that is I set the example. Their dad sets the example. It's up to us. If we are happy and healthy, they are going to be able to have an easier time following suit.
So what do you eat?
So when I get done with this, I'm going to go home. We're going to hang out in the backyard at the pool, and we're going to have watermelon and dinner.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so let's talk a little bit about food. You like to cook, right?
I love to cook,
All right. Tell me about some of the things you like to cook, your go-to that's healthy. Emily Horstman.
Oh, good one. it's summer, so we're grilling a lot. Grilled chicken, grilled shrimp, grilled steak. My go-to meal is tacos, though, because you can just put anything on them. There's unlimited amounts of variety, even within a simple taco. So, yeah, I mean, they're protein-packed, veggie-loaded. You can incorporate fruit. You get all your vitamins and minerals and fiber and all the good stuff.
So you are someone who, in balance, will eat meat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do eat meat.
And what do you get as a registered dietitian? Why is that important to you to have some meat in your diet?
Oh, it works for my body. Everyone's body is different. It's important for me because I'm an omnivore, and that's a good way to get protein.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Chris writes in, is this real? As someone with type 2 diabetes, I have heard that cooking pasta and rice a day before you eat it has less of an effect on your blood sugar. Helpful hint or bogus?
Both. So I don't know about it with the rice or with the pasta, but with potatoes, I know for certain if you cook them and then chill them and then eat them, it does denature some of the starch. You'll have to let me cheat and look it up.
No, that's fine.
Exactly what like the cells are, but it will have a slower load on your blood sugar. So it will lower the glycemic index by cooking and chilling potatoes. I think there might also be some truth to that in rice, but I cannot speak to the pasta question.
All right. So 50-50, at least as far as you know, how much pasta and starches will you have in your daily existence?
I mean, we all need to eat carbs, so
right.
I absolutely eat carbs. Today I had toast with my egg sandwich. My husband's on dinner duty tonight, so I don't know what we're having.
Really?
Yeah. He loves to cook, too. Lucky me.
Wow. I tell you what.
I know.
Don't let my wife hear that, because I haven't been on
I'm going to text your wife after this.
I haven't been on cooking duty in quite some time. Our number here is 800-348-2551. You know, we have people in the newsroom who often suggest questions for me right before I go in. And somebody said, how do you eat healthy and navigate summer cookouts?
Mm-hmm.
This is a time where you could just slam down burgers and everything else.
Yeah. Be the person who brings the healthy thing.
Are they the least popular person at the cookout?
Who cares? You'll be shocked. Bring a fruit tray. Everybody's going to eat it. Bring a veggie tray. Everybody's going to eat it. I've tested it. So many people have tested this theory. People will eat it.
You know, everybody is different. And so when you have a client come to you at Healthier Span, how do you size them up? How do you say, okay, this is right. I'm a registered dietitian. I can look at some science behind this, but I don't know this person yet. How do you do that?
Yeah, great question. It depends. I mean, I've been doing this for a really long time, so.
You couldn't have been that long. You're fairly young, right?
I've been a dietitian for 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe eating well is making me look younger. So
possibly. So how do you size up a potential client?
So I have a conversation with them. I mean, I know exactly what to ask, what to look for. I read their body language. I read their answers. I'm certainly not for everyone. No dietitian is.
Wait a minute. Stop. Why?
Oh, personality, practice, methodology, approach.
Okay. All right, we'll ask about your methodology and approach in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So you're finding that person who fits for you.
Yeah.
What's stage one? What is the first step when someone comes to you and says, boy, I feel lousy. I need to change my ways. What do you do?
I ask them what they've tried before, what they're hoping, like what's their why, what's their goal, like what's really going on. I kind of dig under that initial layer. And if I'm a good fit for them and it makes sense and we want to move forward, we'll go through the intake process. So we look through their entire medical history, all their biometrics. We just have a lot of really thoughtful conversations, and we start setting some action steps to get them where they need to be.
What do you mean biometrics?
Oh, like their lab work, any testing they've had done.
Okay. What percentage, just offhand, ballpark it for me, of your clients, first-timers, have type 2 diabetes?
Including borderline, like pre-diabetes?
Nah, I don't count that. But yeah, you can if you want.
Let's count it, because if they weren't with me, they would be full-blown.
Right.
At least 50%.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, this is a problem across the country.
Yeah.
And so what do you think is the reason for that? Some people don't eat that much. They just don't eat the right things.
Yeah. It depends on each person. I mean, you know, it's a Friday afternoon and I want to keep it light, but the food system and the healthcare system are not set up for us to be anything other than diabetic and sick.
Boy, you're not keeping it light. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. We'll talk about some recipes that Emily Horstman likes and some more up things coming up. 800-348-2551 if you want to talk nutrition with a registered dietitian today. We'll be back. Sonny Rollins here at 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you. It's Food Friday. Emily Horstman joins us today. Emily is a registered dietitian, founder of the Healthier Span, a longevity nutrition coaching practice, also the host of Antidotes for Anxiety and Aging. That's a huge topic, anxiety and aging.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, explain that. Explain your podcast.
Oh, yeah. So my podcast actually started before I started my private practice. I, you know, was in that stage of my early 30s where I really felt like my age was catching up with me. And I know that's going to cause some grunts from everyone over that, over 40. But I'd had two kids and I had to kind of just rework my health and recover in a more holistic way myself. So I really started to feel my age for the first time. And I think a lot of people experience anxiety around the aging process, especially if they don't feel in control of their health. Those two really kind of ramp each other up and are pretty tied together. So I have people on to discuss kind of what aging means to them, how they take care of themselves, what longevity really means to them. And I love having other healthcare providers on. That's usually who it is.
And by the way, while we're at it, how do people find that?
It's on Substack.
Okay, so Antidotes for Anxiety and Aging, you'll find it.
It should come right up, yep.
Our guest today is Emily Horstman, founder of Healthier Span. The number is 800-348-2551 if you want to talk nutrition. And before we get to the phones here, give me a couple of your best go-to recipes besides tacos. Something fancier that you might show guests if they came.
Yeah. We're hosting friends for lunch on Monday, and we're making homemade focaccia. Oh. I'm going to make some homemade hummus, and we're going to put out veggie and fruit tray, maybe some cheese.
Nice.
So yeah, that's a nice, fancier one.
Summery thing.
Yeah.
Now, I ask you a personal question. When you are dealing with your friends and your neighbors, are you sizing them up? Are you judging them for the way they eat?
No.
Isn't that tough, though? That's your job.
It's not, because if I did that all the time, it'd be exhausting. I can't save the world. And to bring it back to, you know, who works with me and who doesn't, it's people have to be wanting to do it. Otherwise, it's just noise. They don't need to hear it from me.
Are you tough on your clients?
If needed, yeah. I'm honest. So sometimes that can feel tough.
Yeah. And your kids are quite happy eating the healthy stuff, huh?
Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong. They eat donuts and chips sometimes.
Really?
Yes.
So
they live in America, Ray.
I got to write this down. Donuts and chips are nutritious. All right, I'm in. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Poughkeepsie. Barbara, you're on with Emily Horstman.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Emily. I have a question that I've asked quite a few nutritionists. When is the best time to eat, say, a sugary dessert? After a meal, during, in between meals, or how? What would you recommend?
Yeah, great question. If you're working on balancing your blood sugar, I would have it after your meal.
Barbara.
Okay.
Simple.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, and I'll follow up on your behalf, Barbara. Why does it matter the order if you're still taking in the same amount of glucose whether it's before or after?
Yeah, because if you're consuming protein and fat with it, it's going to slow the rate at which the glucose hits your bloodstream. It's going to allow it to be absorbed a little bit slower and cause less of a spike.
All right, answer me this one. And this is always on my mind. I always think about, well, how does this work? So you go to the doc and the doc says, all right, your blood level, your sugars are too high. Your A1C is too high. You got to make sure you have enough fiber. Mm-hmm. What does fiber do to counteract sugar? How can that work?
It also slows down the digestion.
So that's all it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
but it's powerful. That's all it has to be.
And is there a ratio? Like if you say, well, gosh, I'm going to have a Clark bar today. Do you have to eat a loaf of whole wheat bread to counteract? So how do you do that?
I guess there could be a ratio. You could look at it, but I really just try to like lean into logic. So like if you're going to have a lot of carbs, put fat on it and have protein with it.
Boy, are you in the wrong place if you're leaning into logic. I'm sorry about that. The number here is 800-348-2551. Registered dietitian Emily Horstman is with us today on this edition of Food Friday. And this email, we'll go back to the phones in a minute, email at voxpop@wamc.org. Nehemiah writes in, question about protein. We are vegetarians but struggle to get enough protein. We're a bit tired of all the tofu and egg options. We're take B supplements, and I'm wondering if there is something similar that we can take that adds protein.
Yeah, so you're asking kind of about a protein supplement. You could get, if you eat dairy, you can use yogurt and cottage cheese. If you eat fish, you've got a plethora of seafood options. As far as a supplement for protein goes, you can absolutely do protein powder. Just find one that you're comfortable eating. If you don't want it to be dairy-derived, you'll want to find something that's not dairy.
What do you do with the protein powder? Mix it with water or just put it on food?
No, make it delicious. Like, turn it into a smoothie or something.
Yeah,
if you're going to have it. There's also, like, protein coffee. People call it profi or profi, where you use, like, protein powder or protein drink in your coffee and make it, like, really shush it up.
What about too much protein? That can be a thing too, right?
Yeah, it definitely can be a thing. I don't think many people run the risk of that unless you're doing like excessive supplementation.
Are you an Atkins diet fan?
No.
Why?
Because it's not balanced.
But you'll lose weight, right?
But then do you gain it right back?
I don't know. I've never been on the Atkins diet. Let's go back to the phones with Emily Horstman, 800-348-2551. Oh, Jennifer just left the line. That does happen. This email from Bill. Are there recommendations for medical diagnoses? Do you counsel on Barrett's esophagus and osteoarthritis? Any thoughts on caffeine and decaf in these conditions?
Yeah, yes, of course. That's why we go through the entire medical history. And any good provider should do the same. Caffeine is a known irritant for Barrett's. So, and coffee, depending on how many tannins are in it, depending on, you could get really into the minutia of the coffee if you're going decaf, it's probably still an irritant. And as far as osteoarthritis goes, probably an autoimmune condition tie in there. So you would, follow a couple autoimmune driven recommendations.
You know, for some of these things, especially osteoarthritis, you see a lot of, well, I watch late night TV often, and you'll see a lot of ads that would seem on the face of it to be snake oil, some of these so-called natural remedies.
Right.
Are there any of those that you incorporate that you feel comfortable with in your work?
As far as the ones on the late night commercials, I can't say I can think of many, but probably not.
Yeah.
If it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. And I really take a food first approach. So unless the person has an illness in which they cannot get what they need through food, we really do food first. Supplementation has its place. Absolutely.
Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Bob writes in, everything in moderation? Is that still a great motto?
It is, Bob.
All right, let's go back to our phones. Mary Ellen is in South Hadley. Mary Ellen, you're on with Emily Horstman. Yeah. Apparently Emily's a mime. Mary Ellen's a mime. Hello, are you there? Interesting. Well, let's put her on hold and see what happens. We'll go back to her. She's on the line, but not with us. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today on this edition of Food Friday by registered dietitian Emily Horstman, founder of Healthier Span. How many clients do you have?
Oh, good question. I keep it somewhere between, depending on groups and one-on-one and couples, under 30 for sure.
Groups? I mean,
yeah.
Do people, how do you do that? It's a very individual thing.
It is.
How would that work?
It's a really, really good starting place for someone. A group is not for everyone, and it's not for every topic or health condition. But right now I'm running a GLP-1 support group and a hypertension group. Those are both really good places where maybe the first 15 questions someone has as a starting point is the same. So we do it in a group setting and they get peer support, feel a lot less isolated on things like that. And then it's perfect for them to go into a one-on-one individualized once they feel like they've got the foundation.
Let's talk about GLP-1.
Yeah.
Every time we do a Medical Monday remotely connected to that, mm-hmm. it comes up. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's apparently the holy grail for weight loss and health. How do you balance that with what you do?
Yeah, I support folks. A lot of folks are taking it. And it's just one piece of the puzzle for whatever it is they're managing. Maybe their diabetes, usually their weight, sometimes, you know, different comorbidities related to obesity. But yeah, it's one piece. It's one tool. And it still needs, it requires other tools to be used alongside it.
You know, you talked about working with people on hypertension. And yeah. you also, at the beginning of the show, intimated that Americans are way over medicated and hypertension medicine is probably number one. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously limiting sodium helps, but what other things can you do from a dietitian standpoint to help people limit their hypertension?
Yeah, so it's not even as much limiting sodium, it's that we're missing some of the other micronutrients that work in tandem with sodium.
Explain.
When you're eating a lot of processed foods, you're getting a lot of sodium from that. You're not getting the potassium, the magnesium, the other minerals that work with sodium. So I think it has a lot to do with the quality of our food, but folks can move a little bit more. That definitely helps. The way we breathe, if you have sleep apnea, it's a direct correlation to hypertension. That would be the number one, I would say.
Very interesting. But how do you do why would that be under your purview as a dietitian?
Because if they can't take care of themselves, there's nothing we're going to do with food until you take care of your sleep apnea.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Our guest is Emily Horstman from Healthier Span, a longevity nutrition coaching practice. We'll go to Julie in Schenectady. Julie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You're on. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted Emily to comment on what type of diet do you prescribe or do you encourage someone to follow when they have multiple health conditions? For example, if someone is a diabetic and they also suffer from heart disease and high blood pressure, I know that like sometimes the diets conflict. So what would you recommend?
Sure. That's such a good question, Julie. Thank you. So oftentimes they don't actually conflict that much because the thing that benefits our cardiovascular system, be it the hypertension, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your triglycerides, they're all going to be the same things. The healthy food helps us all around. So it's going to help all of our systems. There's slightly different.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's a slightly different strategy to treat your blood sugar and treat your hypertension and cholesterol or triglycerides, but they're all moving in the same direction. So like a technique of pairing fruit with fat for diabetes is not going to do anything against your cardiovascular system. So it's either helpful for all or benign for the others. Does that make sense?
Yes, because that was one thing that I was confused about because I thought pairing the fat with the fruit was not good for the cardiovascular system. So I'm glad that you explained that one.
Especially if the fat
I guess it's whatever in moderation, correct?
Right. Well, and the fat should be like nuts or seeds. Those are unsaturated fats. Those are actually going to improve your cholesterol numbers.
Really?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about cheese?
Cheese is saturated. So here's the best way to tell. If it's from an animal, it's saturated. If it's from a plant, it's unsaturated. The only exception is coconut.
So unsaturated fats.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So nuts, seeds, avocado, olives.
Okay. Julie, thanks for the call. But, okay, so they're not as bad for you, let's say. But
they're not bad for you. They're good for you.
But how do nuts lower your cholesterol? I mean, what's the mechanism?
Yeah, so they have poly and monounsaturated fats, and these work in our body to like be the fats that we need them to be. Fat serves as cellular transport and hormones and all the endocrine functions in our body. So how exactly do they improve these numbers? Is they just improve the way the systems operate? We'd have to get out my biochem textbook for me to go into more detail.
All right. Well, I mean, there are two. There's the so-called good cholesterol and so-called bad cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
And the nuts improve the good and not the bad?
They improve the good and lower the bad.
All right. I'll buy it. 800-348-2551 is the number. Joined today by Emily Horstman from Healthier Span. And let's go to Mary Ellen again. Mary Ellen in South Hadley, are you there? It's not working, Mary Ellen. Hang on. You know what? Maybe she's on listening on the radio. It's a slight delay. I'll make some noise and see if she pops up. Are you there, Mary Ellen? I know she's there because she called back. All right. I'm going to put her on hold again. We'll see. Zach, you're doing a great job screening the calls over there. My former engineer for years and years moved up into programming, and he stepped in to screen the calls today. And Mike Bowen, the engineer, is laughing at him. Mary Ellen, are you there? All right. Mary Ellen's going on hold. How about Sherry in Ballston Lake? Sherry, are you there?
I am here. Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead.
Oh, so my question is, well, first, wow, she is both brilliant and really well-educated. I don't believe how much she knows, which is why I called in.
Cool.
I have rheumatoid arthritis, and supposedly the nightshades, all of my favorite foods, are really inflammatory. Can she tell me if they are, why? What's the mechanism for tomatoes and potatoes and like peppers and eggplant? I love them all. Why would they inflame me?
I know, Sherry. They're such a gut punch. They're like some of my favorite foods, too. These, the nightshade family, this is just starting to become a little bit better understood. It is pro-inflammatory in the presence of autoimmune conditions for a majority of people. So there is some testing that's like a little bit outside my purview that I have done this with a client recently, and she had really profound improvements by eliminating these. It's part of the autoimmune protocol. I don't know exactly what, I mean, we could look up the exact compounds that are in nightshades, but this is a real thing, and it is something worth exploring for you.
I hate to ask, but can you give me a couple examples of what nightshades are?
Yeah, tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant.
Okay.
The good peppers, paprika.
I love all that stuff.
I know, me too. They're the best.
All right, Sherry, you want to follow up, Sherry?
Yeah, I would love to. How would I do that?
Well, just ask. No. Oh, no, this is not a referral service. I thought you might want to have a follow-up question. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, do I want to follow up? No, but I am going to, if there's testing, did you say? Is there testing that I could find out if I could have tomatoes?
Yes.
You hear
me
sounding excited.
I would have you eliminate them. Go on like an elimination for a week and see if your symptoms change. That's going to be a way that costs $0 for you to test it. Otherwise, there are
functional.
I've
eliminated them all.
Yes, you would have to eliminate them all.
She already did.
All of them.
Okay. Did you have an improvement in your symptoms?
Badly. No.
Oh, all right.
I'll
okay.
Go back to it then.
Go ahead and have my tomatoes.
Well, that's what I would do, but I'm not a registered dietitian.
I would refer you out to functional medicine, someone who can do that kind of testing for you.
Okay. All right, Sherry, thanks.
I'm glad that I didn't know it existed, so thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it, Sherry. The number is 800-348-2551. It's good nutrition and healthy eating with registered dietitian Emily Horstman, and we'll be back. Some late period Wayne Shorter there, Sacagawea here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Ray Graff with you on a Food Friday, joined today by registered dietitian Emily Horstman. You having fun so far?
Having a great time.
Fair enough. Let's check the email bag at voxpop@wamc.org. If you have a question and you want to call in, 800-348-2551. This one's from Laura. My uncle's 85. and was recently hospitalized for 11 days. He needed 3 units of blood. Docs are thinking a smoldering myeloma. I went to his house, found around 50 supplements. Since getting sick, he's doubling down on them. My mom and I are concerned. What do you think? I keep telling him he needs Whole Foods.
Yeah, you're right. I'm so sorry to hear that. 50 supplements is way too many. 20 is way too many. 10 is too many.
But I mean, depending on what they are, they might be helpful, right?
Sure. But if you're going over 10, I mean, it depends on the person. And it depends on what it is. And it depends on if it has a very clear benefit. And again, is it absolutely necessary because we can't get it from food? Then it gets really individualized.
All right. This email is from Mercy. I don't even know how to say this person's name. So we'll just say from a person. Small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, SIBO, and or metabolic endotoxemia. Do you have any recommendations for diets to recover from those conditions?
Honestly, SIBO is so hyper-specialized. I don't work with SIBO. I don't know, but what I can say is you need something individualized. You need a practitioner who really can help you with this and get it done once and for all. Don't
what
drag
is
it
this?
Out. Small intestine bacterial overgrowth. It's quite common. It's a form of gut dysfunction and gut dysbiosis. And it can be tested with like a breath test, but not all providers. Your standard GI doctor is not going to probably be quick to test it, but it can be very symptomatic for people.
When did this probiotics thing hit our consciousness? I mean, they seems to be everywhere now. Probiotics.
Yeah, I mean, we all have suboptimal guts, and
what do you mean, Emily? What does that mean?
Do you think that people have healthy guts?
I don't know. My gut feels fine.
Your gut
feels
fine.
A little large, but it's fine.
Okay. Because of the things that we are eating, a lot of people have really suboptimal digestion and gut health. And so people are, you know, looking to probiotics to help with that.
And you're good with this?
I'm good with probiotics. It depends on the person. Again, is there a clear-cut need?
All right. Number here is 800-348-2551. It's Nutrition Today with registered dietitian Emily Horstman, founder of Healthier Span and the host of Antidotes for Anxiety and Aging podcast. How many podcasts have you done so far?
Ooh, probably 25
okay.
episodes.
You want to have me on one?
Yes.
All right. I'm busy that day. But
all right.
No, I might be able. We'll talk to my agent. MJ writes in, I'm a woman, 66, good physical condition. 2 questions. 1, according to the sources I've seen, the body fat normal range for women increases with age. Is this a reflection of needing more body fat or a reflection of actual demographics?
Such a good question.
Yeah.
We do move the goalposts based on demographics in so many arenas of health. We do need more. It is more protective as we get older. So it trending up a couple standard deviations is logical, and I would agree with.
All right. The second question from MJ. My scale measures body fat percentage and muscle percentage. I've been using more muscle and moderate body fat as my goal. How do I know how much I should weigh?
Yeah, we'd need to just like look at your specifics. You can look online for ranges. You can look, but you're actually totally on the right track by going with body fat percentage and muscle mass instead of just a number on the scale.
Speaking of muscle mass. Now, I don't know this. I've never taken a GLP-1, but I understand it can affect muscle mass. When you are dealing with a client who, you know, is on a GLP-1, are you counseling certain exercises or certain other supplements to boost muscle mass?
Yeah, really what I'm counseling them is to eat enough and make sure they're not over-medicated to the point where they can only eat like 600 calories a day.
Right.
Because that's going to be like that 10 pounds a week weight loss, 4 pounds a week weight loss. Half of that is your lean muscle.
Yeah.
When it's going that quick, it's not the right way.
All right. Speaking of fat, this one's from Anne, who wants to know about pork fat. Just wondering if Emily can address pork fat being labeled as one of the healthiest foods on a recent famous scientific ranking of healthiest foods. My understanding is that it's mostly monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fat. And that's from Anne.
Is this like the Duroc pork or something, like a specific breed of pig? That would be my question for Anne.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, Anne could write back in.
Yeah.
What's a Duroc pork?
It's a breed of pork.
Is it good?
I think so. It's supposed to be.
Erica writes from Red Hook. What are your views on intermittent fasting as a means to lose weight for someone in their 50s? I had success losing some weight, 20 pounds, a number of years ago. Now, when I try to intermittent fast, I have problems keeping regular, no matter how much water and soluble fiber I consume. That's from Erica in Red Hook.
Yeah, it works a lot better for men than for women. For most adult women, intermittent fasting is not going to get you where you want to be.
Do you know why that is?
It's just our physiological differences, our hormone differences, primarily hormone differences. Intermittent fasting is just a tool. It's just a diet, and it's kind of contextually driven by you. Like, does it help you stop snacking at night and, you know, give up cheese and crackers after dinner? Yeah, you could lose 20 pounds doing that. Is it doing what you're actually wanting it to do, or is it just a way to kind of control your consumption?
Emily Horstman's our guest. While we're on the topic of fasting, let's go to John in Otis, Massachusetts. John, you're on.
Yes, hello. It's great that the previous emailer was kind of asking about that, because that was when I was, I'm a big proponent of fasting, although I haven't done it for a while. But when you were getting into the gut health segment, I was just, it inspired me to call and ask Emily about that, like, because I found it to be a really good reset to just let, you know, clean out, slow down the system. And I was just curious, Emily's thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know your body best. So if you feel like it does help you and it, you don't have any adverse effects and it makes sense and your body appreciates the change of pace, then I don't see anything wrong with that.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, my early education in it was that it really helps clear out kind of an ugly word, sludge, in the system. And also, yeah, right? But that's true. We build up, we accumulate stuff in our guts. And so the fasting can actually help clear that out. And then our guts can absorb more nutrients is basically my understanding and why I had experimented with it in the past. So just wanted to throw that into the mix.
Yeah, on the right track, Emily.
I'm not going to totally sign off on that, because your gut will figure itself out without needing to fast. The same thing with like your liver and kidneys with like detoxes and stuff. But like I said, John, if it works for your body, then full steam ahead.
John, thanks for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. It's Nutrition Today with registered dietitian Emily Horstman. You ever do any fasts yourself?
I haven't, no.
Have you ever, before you became a registered dietitian and knew better, were there diets that you went with?
I mean, before I knew better, like I was a dietitian. I still tried crash dieting for my wedding, and it went horribly.
Really?
Yeah, I'm only human too. We're not impervious to being our humanness. So, I really I was all into veganism for a while back when, 10 years ago. But I think it's just the research changes, our perspectives change, and you have to respect your body enough to figure out what works for you. And it's not an easy thing.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Sam is in Holyoke, Massachusetts. Sam, you're up.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome.
So I have to preface my question by saying I understand this isn't a medical show.
Correct.
Here's my situation. I've been diagnosed with having a lazy gallbladder. And apparently when you have one of these, they just want to take your gallbladder out. And if that's what has to happen, that's fine. But what nobody's been able to give me an answer to is, why isn't some bile better than no bile? From a dietary point of view, it's my understanding that the gallbladder just gives bile and mine just isn't giving as much as a healthy one would. But why is none better than some?
Well, if you get your gallbladder out, your liver will take care of the bile distribution and stuff. So it just depends. Like, if your gallbladder is causing inflammation by not operating well at baseline, they might want to take it out just to get that irritant out of your body, because you will still have bile. There'll just be an adjustment period post-op. But you can explore digestive enzymes too, such as lipase, to kind of replace that bile. But that could be maybe what their logic is.
Yeah. Sam.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, when I have docs on who cover that, I You say, well, you know, if you can take it out and you're fine, do we really need it at all? I mean, that's the thing. I don't know. Anybody I know who has had their gallbladder out, they seem quite happy afterwards. It's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. Like, I actually have someone right now who had it out 20 years ago, has had problems ever since, and
You're
never dealt
me.
With it.
Really?
And so the problem's compounded. But most people recover just fine. And the reason they get it out is because it's angry and causing problems. So,
our guest today is Emily Horstman, founder of Healthier Span. She is a registered dietitian. The number is 800-348-2551. All right, here's one from Rosemary in Great Barrington. I took steroids for around 2 weeks this winter for a back injury. Quickly gained 8 pounds. Mm-hmm. Still hasn't come off. Is there a strategy that works for weight gain with medication?
Oh, it depends. It still needs to be individualized to you. But yeah, that'll happen and that'll mess with your blood sugar too. Things that you've tried in the past might work, but just be gentle with yourself and it'll come back off.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Louise is in Woodsboro. Louise, you're on.
Hello. Yes, please. I have a couple of questions. Yeah, about probiotics versus Metamucil. I have a friend who has a very bad digestion. She probably, you know, her stool doesn't go through very well. But can you tell me the difference between I'm wondering if she can get away with Metamucil or does she need a probiotic?
So probiotic is the bacteria that does the work in our gut. Prebiotic is the food that the bacteria eat. So prebiotics come from plants, so like our fruits and our vegetables and our grains and our nuts and our seeds. So probiotics and prebiotics are different and they work together. If you consume a whole food diet,
yeah,
you've got the prebiotics taken care of.
About them versus Metamucil? Metamucil is... it'll give you all the bacteria, right? Good and bad, I understand.
No, Metamucil is a fiber supplement. It's psyllium husk. So that's a prebiotic.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Oh, it's a prebiotic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I just have another question about fat. So I understand that good fat versus bad fat is a very big difference, and people that are older should have good fat like avocado or olive oil, nuts. I mean, seed oil is probably not the best thing. Would you say that too?
I'm not going to open the seed oil can of worms today.
Why?
But
I love cans
right,
of
like...
worms. I mean, this is perfect. Go do it.
You're right. The plant-based unsaturated fats are the way to go. I mean, that's what everyone throughout the life cycle should be having more of. So.
Okay. All right, Louise, is that good for you?
No, I really didn't understand the last answer.
All right, go ahead.
I guess she doesn't want to open up a can of worms.
Yeah,
I mean, the seed oil thing is like, it really needs more nuance. Like, it's hyper-polarizing that people want to, like, say seed oils are the problem in our food system, and that's barely scratching the surface of what's actually wrong and why people are so sick. So if you don't want to eat seed oils, don't eat them, but eat olive oil. Eat avocado oil, eat avocados, eat nuts and seeds. You're correct about unsaturated
fats. And coconut
fats.
Oil. What about coconut oil? Is
coconut
that
oil saturated. Yep.
Coconut oil saturated.
The one.
So you would think that that's not good. Well, what's the next best oil? Can you tell me that?
Olive oil.
Just olive oil. No second best, right?
Olive or avocado oil.
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Well, I don't know. I guess. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Louise.
All right. I guess. Thank you very much. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Emily Horstman is our guest. By the way, we talked about pork fat earlier.
Yeah.
So Anne got back to us. The pork fat is not from a specific type of pig. It was the BBC that ranked it as the 8th healthiest food. BBC wrote, it's a good source of B vitamins and minerals. Pork fat is more unsaturated and healthier than lamb or beef fat.
I gotta say, you're teaching me something, Anne. I have not seen the same information, and I'm sure that the pork in Europe is gonna be better than here.
Well, she sent the whole BBC top 10. We don't have time now; it's too late in the program. But you know, next time you're on, we'll run by all of those and see what you think. Let's go to Elizabeth in Rifton, New York. Elizabeth, you're on.
Hi, my name's Liz, and I actually have a background in nutrition from college.
Okay.
Didn't do the dietetic internship or any of that, so I'm not a dietitian. And was living my life, 30s, 40s. I'm, you know, thinking I'm doing enough exercise and eating a good diet. And I go for a physical and find out I have diabetes.
Wow.
And I was crestfallen. And I thought, you know, for just a moment, I thought, I can deal with this myself. And then I said, no. And I went and called a dietitian and worked with her for several months. And it really helped me. You know, I'm usually kind of a do-it-yourself person. And I guess my reason for calling is just to say to people, go work with a dietitian or a nutritionist, somebody who knows things, who has an objective perspective on how you're doing your diet and exercise. It really helped me, and I just can't urge people enough to seek professional help on this.
Nicely said.
Worth it.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Liz. Appreciate it. All right, very quickly, let's go to Linda in Saugerties. Linda.
Hi there. I'm calling because my daughter is a big fan of collagen peptides.
Yeah.
And is encouraging me to put them in my coffee in the morning. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are regarding that.
Do it. If you like it, do it. If it doesn't affect the taste, full steam ahead. It'll give you a source of protein and kind of slow down that caffeine.
Any negative effects that you know of?
No. It just makes the coffee not taste as good.
I only put one teaspoon in because it does affect the taste of the coffee.
Right.
But I'm an older woman and I eat very modestly, and she's concerned I'm not getting enough protein intake.
Yeah, maybe she's right. But yeah, that can be a great way to get it in.
All right. Well, Linda, thanks a lot. We're almost at the end of the show here. Very quickly, we'll go to Lynn in Lee, Massachusetts. Lynn, let's go quickly on this.
A quick question. Thank you for taking it. Is there any correlation between diet and addressing mental illness? Not in terms of eating processed food or not processed food, but certain foods that should be avoided.
Okay, we've got about 30 seconds.
Or that might be helpful.
Yes, there's a huge correlation. Everything we eat has an impact on our body, and that includes our mental health. Back to gut health to kind of put a ribbon on it. 90% of your neurotransmitters are produced in your gut. So everything we eat plays a role in our mental health. As far as specifics go, that's kind of a one-on-one chat.
All right, Lynn, thanks a lot. We'll have to leave it there. Well, Emily Horstman, thanks for jumping in here and doing the show. How do people find out more about Healthier Span?
You can look it up, healthierspan.com. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Substack, any of those places.
Do you have someone who does your social media for you?
I wish.
Really? Are you hiring?
I am.
All right, fair enough. Well, thanks for being with us today. Support comes from Cafe Capriccio, now booking their classic Tuscany tour for September 2026, highlighting the food, wine, and culture of the Tuscany countryside. Ruatours.com for reservations. Hudson Taconic Lands, with more than 20 public nature areas across Rensselaer County, featuring waterfalls, rocky summits, accessible trails, and nature play areas for children. More at hudsontaconic.org. And The Eighth Step, celebrating their 59th season, bringing contemporary and traditional folk music to upstate New York and beyond, in residence at Proctor's, 8thstep.org, for coming events and tickets. Well, that's it for today. That's it for this week. Thanks to Emily Horstman for joining us, and you can find her at healthierspan.com. Thank you for listening. Got through the calls today. Sorry if we didn't get to your email. Thanks to Mike Bowen, our engineer. Zach Malloy, the programming executive, came in and screened the calls. Did a so-so job. Maybe you should just, you know, push the paper back at the office. You know what I mean? I'm Ray Graff. Okay, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2. We'll talk about your feet with podiatrist Doug Tooman. So if you got a bunion, give us a call then.